Hey, John,
Hey, Nick.
did you know that in the year 1980, the band Devo was about to break up because they were penniless on the streets and they couldn't get any more gigs, and they really needed that one new single that would send them to the top of the charts. And one of the bandmates made a mayo sandwich, which is just a piece of bread, mayo, piece of bread. And
Love both.
that gave him the idea for the song Whip It. And the band referred to it as their Miracle Whip. Dad, are you proud of me yet?
And this has changed stuff.
Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast that's canon.
Hey,
that's right. This isn't the fanfic. This is canon. I'm John Began.
I'm Nick Wood. How's it going, my little cheesy bean burrito?
Aw, look at you go. That's such a sweet little wrap. I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
What kind of Taco Bell menu item would you be, Nicholas?
I feel like I'd be a cheesy gordita crunch, but I've never had one.
The gorditas were very good when they lasted. I feel like you want to be a cheesy gordita crunch, but you're kind of like a Mexican pizza.
True. Okay.
No matter which way you slice it.
You're still disappointed. What kind of Taco Bell menu item do you think the Pope would be?
The Pope?
Yeah.
He would be one of those cinnamon crisps.
Cinnatwists?
Yeah. Easily.
You know, this is slightly on topic, so I'm going to bring it
Sorry
up.
Sorry for the cynicism.
Don't be a sinner. Yeah. So this is related, so I'm going to bring it up. You guys know that I love going on Reddit, but right before we came on the show, I was going through Reddit, and I came across this Ask Reddit post. Since the Pope exists in the Cars universe, Car Jesus must have existed. What kind of car do you think he would have been? And the top,
wow.
The top post, with 16 awards and 24,000 upvotes is El Camino. Stay with me here. Son of a carpenter, what would a carpenter drive? A truck. The son, smaller truck. Widely misunderstood and railed against by the powers that be of the time, but have a devoted following to this day. Google wow. Translate tells me that El Camino translates to the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He already told us. He already told you he's an El Camino.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I think it was kind of a miracle that I came across that post before we started recording, don't you?
I felt like I was adrift in the ocean, lost at sea amongst all of this banter, and you brought us back. So I appreciate that,
that's
Nicholas.
That was such, God.
Yeah, good way to show us the way, you little Camino. What are we going to talk about today?
We're talking about, so this came from a listener and friend, Ashley. Hello, Ashley. And she was like, hey, can you just talk about like how the Catholic Church determines what's a miracle? And I was like, yes, because if there's one thing that I like more than using science to prove things wrong, it's it's to trash talk Catholics.
Okay, good.
I feel bad about possibly alienating some of our listeners, but no one's listening to us anymore. And also the Catholic Church has done some really bad things in the name of God. So tit for tat, we're punching up, et cetera, et cetera. You cover up sexual assault allegations, we'll make fun of your silly hats and sainthood. I think that's
fair. Yeah, dude. I'm ready to dive right in. Good to go. I now know what Taco Bell food items everybody is, and I'm ready to assign it to every one of the saints as well.
Sweet. Well, we got 10,000 saints to assign Taco Bell menu items to, so start now.
There probably are 10,000 Taco Bell items.
I think you might be right. So I also want to take a step back and say that we're not ragging on your religious beliefs, but some of this stuff is kind of silly. I'm not going to yuck your yum unless you're Catholic, so...
Oh no.
So anyway, John, you've heard of Catholic saints. You've already mentioned them.
Yeah. Name I used one. To Saint Joseph.
Oh, okay. That was easy.
Yeah, that's because I used to lose stuff all the time, and my grandma would say, you better ask Saint Joseph to help you find it, because he's a saint to find and stuff, like my glasses when I was 10.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
I know. That's why you never found anything when you were little.
Dang.
All you had to do.
Man.
Except I used to even have this little like medal of St. Joseph, but I lost it in a twist of irony.
That is irony. So I don't want to talk about like specific Catholic saints for too long, because like I mentioned, there are over 10,000 of them. But if someone led
how many miracles is that, Nicholas?
At least 20,000 miracles.
That's right.
Yeah, at a bare minimum. We'll get into more specifics later. Somewhere between at least 20,000 and 30,000, depending on when they were canonized. But in the Catholic Church, if someone led a virtuous life, the Catholic Church wants to recognize them. And I actually think that this is pretty neat. If someone did something great in their lives, like humanitarian work, or they saved a bunch of lives, or I don't know, gave birth to Jesus, they can preserve their legacy by declaring them a saint. And I think that that is a great way to ensure someone is recognized for their life's work long after they've expired. And
yeah,
a saint in the eyes of the Catholic Church isn't just someone that was like pretty dope in real life. A saint is also someone that they know for a fact is in heaven.
You sound like a youth camp counselor.
Yeah, let me sit backwards in my chair and turn my hat around.
Saints were pretty dope, guys.
Not, saints weren't just dope. They were lit AF. A saint is someone that they know is in heaven, which is a weird way of phrasing things, because that also means that they have to be able to prove that this person is in heaven. And that is where miracles come in, my friend. Let me do that snappy thing all the kids do with their hands. You know what I'm talking about? And I'll dab and flip a water bottle. Kids still doing that?
I don't know. You have a daughter. Aren't you going to get caught up on trends in like 5 more years?
Yeah. Give it a little bit.
TikTok too.
The squeakquel. I made a water flipping joke, and you totally missed the opportunity to make a joke about flipping holy water.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, John,
and something of, yeah.
What the heck is a miracle? Can you explain it to me?
Yeah.
I didn't do any research.
It's an incredible feat.
Perfect. A miracle, at least for our discussion today, is something that is not scientifically explainable. A miracle, then, by the admission of a Reverend James Martin, isn't just a little supernatural, it's completely supernatural. A miracle is something that the rational mind cannot comprehend. That could be the image of the Virgin Mary found on someone's door. It could be a tumor that randomly disappears overnight without explanation. And miracles aren't, or they are important because since there isn't physical proof of a God out there, miracles can be viewed as God reaching down and touching the world in a special way. And now I really feel like a youth pastor. Damn it. But these are important to people because they can then use stories of miracles to reaffirm their faith. But miracles are also important because if you want to saint someone, they need to perform at least 2 miracles after they have died. And it used to be that they had to perform 3 miracles, and I guess that was too tough because it was reduced down to 2, and now there's talks of having to remove the restriction of having to have a miracle done at all altogether.
Yeah, could you imagine like turning water into like a Chardonnay at like a party, like popping some bubbly, and then they're like, all right, just one more, dude. You gotta complete it for your resume.
Come
you're not
on,
making
man.
Yeah, but then your magic's off, and you just like had a rough night.
Like every guest on James Randi's show.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, see, those miracles occurred when they were living. All these miracles have to happen after the person has died, which to me just sounds crazy. But because of this, people are they're constantly looking for miracles to happen.
But hold on.
Yeah.
You said that it's a good thing that they're going to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it makes it so history remembers them.
Yeah.
But they're never recognized for something that they did while they were alive?
Not when it comes to canonizing them as a saint.
So they're not recognized for anything that they did that's good. It's just like, I wasn't, my car ran out of gas, but I still got to the gas station in time just as it ran out.
That's
saint,
probably...
and then you just pick a name, or
well, let's hop into it.
Saint Taurus.
Saint Toyota.
Saint Taurus. Yeah.
So let's back up a little bit. When someone becomes a saint, they have to have done something amazing, but in order to acquire sainthood, they have to perform the those two miracles after they have died. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it.
So they will get recognized for the cool, dope stuff they did, but it doesn't, I mean, they're not immortalized until they've posthumously, after deadly. So
they're still expected, like, it's a salary type job, like, even when they're off of the earth.
Oh, yeah.
They're still expected to perform.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
rough.
Yeah, it is rough. And because of this, people are constantly looking for miracles to happen. And once someone has proposed that someone should become a saint, a couple things happen. First of all, they might have been called a living saint when they were alive, like Mother Teresa was called that all the time, but they can't actually be sainted until after they died. The Catholic Church, once they do die, the Catholic Church will investigate the person's life to ensure that they were as great and virtuous as everyone thinks. And usually these people are lobbied for, like there's a group of people lobbying for these people to be sainted. They'll go to the Vatican and say, hey, make Mother Teresa a saint. And they'll research her life and say, yeah, she was pretty good. Let's go to the next step, which is funny because if you just do a quick Google search, you'll see that she
treated something really awful in 2014.
I know. No, she had like a bunch of like racist tendencies and treated her volunteers like crap. So she wasn't super great. There's also a Penn and Teller's BS episode where they talk about it. But once they've determined the person was virtuous enough, they begin looking for the miracles that this person may have performed after they're dead. And back in the day, a lot of these were physical manifestations. Like, for instance, this isn't physical, but you'll see where I'm going with this. In 1917, the Virgin Mary supposedly appeared as a vision to several children. In the late 1600s, this guy went into a religious trance and started hovering like over townspeople, just like through the village square. There's also people who have claimed to get stigmatas before. You've heard of those, right?
But hold on a sec. The guy that was hovering around, he was just a floating corpse. Like what?
No, he was alive. That guy was alive. He was alive.
Change the rules.
No. He was praying to a saint. We'll get to it. But he prayed to a saint and then started flying around, and that was a miracle. There's paintings of it too. And then people have had stigmatas where you start bleeding from your palms, where like Jesus was supposedly crucified. There's also the famous like crying statue of the Virgin Mary in 1973. And then there's been plenty of corpses that people that were later sainted. Like these people died, they buried them, and then later on they became a saint. They exhumed the bodies, and supposedly the bodies were like in perfect condition, like they hadn't decayed at all. What's peculiar to me is that in the age of the internet, and these days everyone has a camera readily available in their pocket, these types of miracles where there's crying statues or people flying over villages or the Virgin Mary appearing in front of a bunch of people, all of these miracles have just somehow completely disappeared. How strange.
Yeah. Well, if you go to strangersocialshow.com/cloud server, you can back up your miracles on our site. And there'll be no more crashes. You won't lose any of your data. Data loss is a serious problem that faces a lot of people.
You think that it's data crashes that have made it so these types of miracles don't exist anymore?
70%.
70%?
Yeah, that's a percentage. Wow. Yeah. It doesn't apply to anything we're talking about. But
it's one of the yeah. percentages on the spectrum of percentages, yeah.
Right. It's a majority, even.
So members of the church will even admit these days that 99.9% of miracles are of a medical nature. That is, someone woke up from a coma, a tumor disappeared, or in one case, someone's Parkinson's disease went away. A disease that I think only saw one case of remission in 2016. It just magically disappeared from a nun. So once a candidate for sainthood performs one of these miracles, and we'll get to how these are classified in a second, they are beatified, which is a fancy way of saying their candidacy for sainthood has officially begun. And once they've performed the second miracle, they can finally be canonized and officially declared a saint.
Wow. I once beatified something. It was quite a miracle because I put all my beads on this little piece of plastic with pegs on it, and I made a little lizard. out of it.
That is not the direction I thought you were going, but I can say I'm incredibly glad that is the direction you went with.
You put them in the oven and you watch them melt, and then you have like a little keychain type thing.
Yeah. Perler beads? You don't put them in the oven. You just put an iron over them. You weirdo. Maybe you're thinking of Shrinky Dinks. You put those in the oven.
This is a family show. I think that's Shrinky Dinks.
So two recent examples of people being canonized were Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul II. Mother Teresa was found to have removed a stomach tumor in a woman in India. There was also a man in Brazil who was in a coma with because of abscesses on his brain. The oh my God. He came out of his coma because those things of the word that I have trouble saying went away. Pope John Paul II cured, like I said, the Parkinson's in a nun and the brain injuries of a woman in Costa Rica. Those were his two miracles. And that's all fine and dandy, except how are these medical miracles attributed to someone posthumously, John?
Yeah, I'm having a struggle with that, bud. So did Mother Teresa put on her surgical scrubs and just dig in and get that tumor out?
It's like that
and
scene then in Doctor like, Strange.
This one goes out to St. George, and then he gets credit for it?
Yeah. You nailed it right on the head.
It's like they dedicated.
No. So it's really simple, actually. So the miracle must occur after the person who was affected or witnessed the miracle had prayed to one person and one person only. So Mother Teresa dies. Someone has a stomach ulcer, and they're like, Mother Teresa.
A stomach ulcer in their leg?
What?
You said a stomach ulcer, and they're like, unless you're saying no. Legacy, not talking.
Stomach ulcer, and they are like.
Oh.
I can see where you think that I was talking about a leg. But they have a stomach ulcer in their leg, and they say, Mother Teresa, please get rid of this problem in my leg. It's a medical anomaly. I don't know how my stomach ended up there.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And they prayed to just Mother Teresa and nobody else. And then their stomach left their leg and went back to where it belonged. The Vatican actually has a miracle commission that receives miracle claims of some sort. I assume you can work with your local church to report a miracle, but usually, like I mentioned before, there's a lobby working to have people sainted, and you can usually Google, like, Mother Teresa was already sainted, but if there's someone you want to be a saint, you type in their name and saint lobby, you can find it and report it to them. And once they found a good claim, the Congregation for the Causes of the Saints investigates the claim. This is part of the Vatican as well. And since most of the miracles these days are medical in nature, they ensure that no doctor can possibly have an explanation for how this person was cured. This apparently is done by using a panel of several doctors from around the world. They bring the case before them and they say, hey, you got an answer for this? And if every single doctor is like, nah, brah, then they say, all right, it's a miracle.
Okay. I just enjoy that quite a bit. I don't really have anything to riff on.
Yeah. According to their classifications, it must be unexplained, instantaneous, and the ailment must never return. And my favorite part is once it has passed the doctor test, it, quote, goes to a panel of theologians who then have to judge.
Theologians, Nicholas. Come on.
Theologians. I don't think that's right.
Well, you're a theologist, right? If you're not a theologist.
Well, okay. You say tomato, I say get off my lawn, you crazy man. So it goes to a panel of theologians who then have to judge whether the miracle is the sort of thing that God would do.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's very objective. I mean, they have a list of things that God would and wouldn't do. It's in a little notebook with God written on the front inside of a heart and arrow.
Like one time, wasn't there a saint that was walking down the street and they stepped on, speaking of tomatoes, they stepped on a tomato and like, ugh, gross. And they rubbed it off with their hair. And they're like, oh, that's so God. Jesus liked to wash people's feet with his hair.
That's true. Right? He was into that. It's kind of weird. They never talk about it.
That's real. No, okay.
With his hair?
Yeah. You never heard that? Jesus washed people. He's washed people's feet with his hair, or they did it to his feet.
Hmm.
Christians, right? If you made it this far,
hang on.
Right?
Jesus did. Washed feet.
They didn't have loofahs, Nicholas. Hair. Why are you acting like this is the most insane thing? You got a little hair loofah. You scrub that foot down.
Oh,
it's good for the soul. You get it.
This is on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Here, Jesus. A dinner was given to Jesus's, given in Jesus's honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard. Oh, an expensive perfume. I was like, I don't know what nard is.
Don't be such a nard.
She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair.
Yeah. Where have you been?
Do you think you could sell that on like OnlyFans or anything?
Ah, it's a little too much.
So anyway,
there's something nice about Jesus.
Something's a miracle. It returns to the cardinals and the bishops of the church. If they think everything is well and above board, they say, yeah, it was a miracle. They beatify or canonize them. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of problems with this. For instance, if a medical ailment returns to a person, they have been known to retract miracles, but they've also been known just to ignore it. So remember that nun that was cured of Parkinson's?
Yeah.
Well, 3 years later, it came back. Turns out she might not have had Parkinson's in the first place, but maybe a similar ailment with similar symptoms that had saw remission. It was just misdiagnosed. Of course, many of the physical miracles have been disproven years later, like those kids that saw Mary in 1917. It was probably just a sun dog that we now know is a solar phenomenon caused by the sun's light refracting through ice crystals. There's also that crying statue. There was further research done 40 years later, and it was found that the plaster used to make the statue is known for collecting moisture, and then if there's any cracks in the glaze on the outside of the statue, the water will leak out through it. There's also, this is my favorite, there's a statue of Jesus whose feet were dripping water, which, as you mentioned before, is important because people loved to wash Jesus' feet.
And with their hair.
With their hair. And it turns out that there was a cracked sewer line behind the wall where the statue was.
Oh, no.
And that, my friends, is what I call holy s***. So this all boils down to a point that a paranormal investigator, which usually means like people that we rally against, but in this instance he's on our side, his name was Joel Nickel. He makes this argument that this is all argumentum ad ignoratium, which is fancy way of saying a logical fallacy. For
I commit ignoratium every time I look away from my screen when an ad plays on YouTube.
So this is what he said. The major criterion for a healing to be classified as a miracle is that, in addition to being instantaneous and permanent, it be medically inexplicable. This is an attempt to use negative evidence. Claimants are therefore engaged in a logical fallacy called argumentum ad ignorantium. Ignorantium, an argument from ignorance. That is, one cannot draw a conclusion from a lack of knowledge. We do not know why her symptoms went away. Therefore, it was a miracle. In fact, such cases do have alternative explanations. Some illnesses, such as multiple sclerosis, are known to show spontaneous remission. Other cures, quote-unquote, may be attributed to misdiagnosis, psychosomatic conditions, prior medical treatment, and the body's own healing power and other effects.
Do you think that they're going to look for ignoranium in Avatar 3?
Why not Avatar 2?
That already came out, didn't it?
No, it's been in production for like 10 years.
I must have consumed too much ignorantium.
God, what was
it? My ignorance.
What was that stuff there? Unobtainium, that's what it was called. God, I hate that movie. That movie is so bad.
Unobtainium.
It's so stupid.
Out of reachium.
Do you ever watch Jack's films on YouTube?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the one where they went out on the street and asked people the main character's name from Avatar, and they'd give them like $20 if they could name the main character from Avatar?
You mean Avatar, the biggest movie of ever?
Exactly. That's the point they make. They're like, you know, Avatar, the highest grossing movie of all time. This was before Endgame, and the people are like, yeah. And they're like, what's the main character's name? I'll give you $20. And I think like one person got it. Many people got the first name, but they never got the first and last name.
I swear to Jesus's feet with my hair that I would say like Matthew or Ryan.
I believe it's...
Do you know the answer?
Yeah, I believe it's Jake Sully.
Okay.
Let me look this up just to be sure.
So you could have convinced me that Jake Sully is from Monsters, Inc.
I know. That's why I had to look it up. Yeah, it's Jake Sully.
sully his name.
So I don't think I can summarize this any better than what Joe Nickell said. I am one of the first people to admit, when it comes to ghosts or spontaneous remission from an illness, it is entirely possible that there is no explanation for it yet. Doesn't mean there won't be an explanation for it later on. Like, you can't have ghosts because they have to have matter. Well, we need to discover what their matter is, and eventually we'll figure out what that is, and then we'll have a scientific explanation for it. But because we don't have one now, doesn't mean that it's paranormal or a miracle.
Lightning bugs aren't little electricity boys. They, you know, they got all kinds of juices in them that make them glow.
Yeah,
and we didn't know that back in the day when we were dummies. Yeah. Yeah,
you've heard it said all the time. They're little electric dummies or whatever you said.
What?
I don't know what you called them. Electric dummies?
Oh, little electricity boys.
Oh, little electricity boys. Yes, it's in all the textbooks.
Just some of them probably identify as electricity boys. And when we were dumb people, like the caveman that I invented, that's probably what we believed at the time. And I think that there's plenty of little electricity boys out in the world today, like ghosts. And we're going to find out, oh, it's not ghosts. It's AI that traveled back in time to kill us or something.
We're all in a simulation, and it's actually just a broken code that got fixed. That's why they're hard to replicate. Oh, God, I just convinced myself we live in a simulation. Well, should we go to a quick break while I have an existential breakdown?
Yeah, hold on. Let me code it real quick.
Thank you. Oh, my God, it's starting. Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
I want to
talk. We did the intro.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need like a mid-tro.
A mid-tro. What if people forgot who we are?
Yeah, in the middle of our sentences, we should plug StrangersListShow.com. Except for this sentence, because the sentence is about StrangersListShow.com. By the way, go to StrangersListShow.com, and now I can finish my sentence.
Thank you. Thank God we finally got to the end of it. That's a freaking miracle. By the way, you can leave us a review on iTunes. It's a pretty good way to spread the show. And since I...
Or your podcast app, if you're living in 2020.
Yeah. What's 2020? Never heard of it.
Sorry, next year.
Maybe if you're living in 2019. John, I have a few ridiculous miracles that were used to saint someone that I wanted to go over with you. I've already gone over a couple, like the broken sewer line or the dude that hovered around the town. I think I'm just going to read these exactly how they were on the website and just get your thoughts on these, okay? In 1635, a young girl in Cartago is supposed to have taken a small statue of a mother and child from a footpath and brought it home with her. The next day, the statue disappeared from her home, and she found it again in the same location along the path. After this happened once more, she brought the statue to a priest, who, telling her it was a statue of the Madonna and Child, put it inside a box. The statue disappeared once again, reappearing along the footpath. This miraculous statue was eventually placed on display at the Basilica de Nostra Signora de Los Angeles.
Wow. That's amazing. I didn't know that Madonna was a mother. She has a daughter named Lord Leon.
Which is interesting because
Where did there be a statue of her back then?
There's that place in France called the Lord of Lords or whatever that all these miracles supposedly happen at. It's all connected.
Is that the Louvre?
No, that's the museum. This is the Lourdes. I don't know how. Anyway, this might be a miracle, but it more sounds like the plot of the Jim Carrey masterpiece, The Mask.
Yeah, bottom of the ocean, wooden mask, false. Put it on a dog, sell a toy of it at a McDonald's where you push the tail and the eyes pop out.
Yeah.
Did you have that toy?
I did not.
Okay.
I believe you that it existed, though. Here's another one. In a Roman mass that took place in the year 595, one of the women who had prepared the bread for the Eucharist began to laugh at the notion that the bread and wine were really the flesh and blood of Christ. Pope Saint Gregory, I guess he was sainted after the fact, present at the time, denied the woman communion. Shortly after, some of the bread prepared by the woman became actual blood and flesh. Some of this relic is still housed in a place in Germany that I can't pronounce.
I would ask for so many managers at that point. I would terrify my life. I'd be like, I'm vegan, you bastards. I ordered bread. This is disgusting. Whose blood is it, too? You could do a DNA test on it. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Actually, is that an upgrade?
What do you mean?
From bread to like a big meaty pulp?
No, that's disgusting. It's probably uncooked. Yeah, there were several vials. There was like a vial of blood that is usually dried, but then during parts of the year it's wet again, and that's apparently a miracle. I didn't put that on the list, but I did read about it. Here's the last one I got for you. A nun by the name of Sister Agnes Katsuko Sasagawa had a vision of the Virgin Mary in 1973. And afterwards, there's nothing like following up the name Agnes with two very Japanese words. Katsuko Sasagawa. Anyway, she had a vision of the Virgin Mary in 1973. And afterwards, experienced stigmata on one of her hands, which began to bleed. In June, by the way, I just want to mention that most cases of stigmata have been found to be self-harm after the fact, something that the Catholic Church ignores. In June of the same year, a wooden statue of the Virgin Mary in her church spontaneously started to bleed in the same place. The statue went on over the next few years to cry and sweat without explanation. Scientists collected samples of blood, sweat, and tears and determined that they were real and human. Sister Agnes was subsequently cured of total deafness with no treatment.
What? I didn't even know she's deaf in the first place.
That's a real
what a terrible story.
And Night Shyamalan twist there at the end.
Yeah. It reminds me of the story of this guy that he was reading this book.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the book, it was full of blood on the last page. And he took it, and it turns out that he was blind. Did you see that coming? He didn't.
Come on. Oh, my God. All right, man.
So it's okay.
I got nothing else for miracles. That'll about do it. Got anything else?
That's all I got, except for this picture of this dog toy that I had of the mask dog where you push on its tail and the eyes pop out and it looks like a slug. And I used to play with it. I remember specifically being a little kid and moving it slowly across like a slug and chasing my sister. It's like a little snail.
I need you to post that on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/group/strangerstill.
Yeah, can we get more people in there, please?
Yeah.
Can you jump on in?
Yeah.
Fellas and fellettes and all in between, just jump on in. That's right. Come on down to Facebook.
Come on down. You're listening to this,
jump in that group, because I make fun of Nick consistently, and there's some good science articles.
There's some pretty good goofs in there. But I think that'll do it for this week. And gaffes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.
Oh, I was on the edge of my seat. I didn't know you were going to say that. That's good.